Welcome, everyone. My name is Marvin, and I'm so glad that you have chosen to join us today for our online weekend service experience. If you have a prayer request or if you'd like to connect with one of our pastors, we'd love to hear from you. You can contact us through our app or emailing us at the email address that's on your screen at this time. Speaking of our app, our Christian Assembly LA app is available for you to download on your Android or Apple smartphone or tablet devices. Inside of the app, you can access our daily Bible reading plan and also catch up on past weekend service videos. We want to thank you for all of those of you that have continued to give online and your ongoing generosity. We are truly grateful for each and every one of you. We encourage you to give online through our Christian Assembly LA app, or you can visit our website and click on the Give tab. You can sign up to give online through either the app or the website if you haven't already done so. For those of you that would prefer to mail in your offering, you can make your check out to Christian Assembly Church, and you can send it to the address below. If you make a decision to follow Jesus Christ now or at any point throughout this service, we would love to hear about that. We'd love to pray with you and guide you in some next steps. You can email us at the email address that's on your screen, or you can text the word decision to the number 52855. One of our pastors will personally follow up with you to pray with you and encourage you in some next steps. Again, we want to thank you for being with us today, and I would encourage you to not just be a spectator, but to actually participate in our online weekend services. So we encourage you to do that. But before we do, let's pray. And as we pray, I want to guide you in a prayer for over 300 kids that started Vacation Bible School this past week, and that will be ongoing. So we're going to pray for them as well. So would you join me in praying for them now? So Lord, we thank you for this time that we have to gather digitally. We ask that you would meet us in our homes or wherever we might be watching this online service, Lord. We pray that your Holy Spirit would be with us as we worship your mighty name, Lord. Father, we are also mindful of over 300 kids that began Vacation Bible School this past week. Would you meet them as well? Would you grow their faith as they hear stories of your goodness and of your greatness, Lord? So now we ask that you would be with us now, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Now let's worship together.
All right, let's lift our voices together and sing this hymn. Oh God, our help.
Oh God, our help in ages past, our hope for years to come. Our shelter from the stormy blast and our eternal home.
Under the shadows.
Under the shadow of thy throne, still may we dwell secure. Sufficient is thine arm alone, and our defense is sure.
Let's sing, oh God.
Oh God, you are our help. You are our helper to all generations.
A thousand ages
in thy sight are like an evening gown. Sure as the watch that ends the night before the rising sun.
Oh God,
oh God, you are generations, you will be forever and ever.
up. You lift us up. So we give you thanks and we give you praise. Well, what a joy and a pleasure and honor it is to be gathered together virtually online. What an amazing thing that throughout the story of humanity, God has used technology to continue to tell his story. And that's what we're doing together in this moment. There's one thing that I so miss doing my job is I miss you guys in this, being in this space for two reasons. One, just to see you and to be with you is a gift. But to hear you and to see you proclaim the praises of God leads me in worship. And I want you to remember that wherever you are, wherever, as we're gathered together virtually, that there's power in our praises because God inhabits the praises of his people. So I want you to, wherever you're at, the best way you know how, to declare with one voice in worshipful defiance to the powers of this world that our God is good and that his mercy endures forever and ever. So we celebrate his promises today. We're going to sing this song about his promises. Bree's going to sing.
You are with me. What can separate us? You are for me. What can stand against us? Your love, it won't let go.
Freedom.
Healing and freedom as you speak favor over me. Faith is breaking all impossibility. Your name has overcome. Your name, I know your thoughts, cause I know your thoughts, your plans for me. Your promises, cause your promises never fail. Your promises never fail.
Let's sing it together. I'm standing.
Oh, I am standing on every promise that you make. I will see it come to pass in your name, Jesus. I will trust every word I hear you say. I will see it come to pass in your name, I am standing on every promise that you make. I will see it come to pass in your name, Jesus. I will trust every word I hear you say. I will see.
Promises never fail. Your promises never fail.
weapon. The weapon may be formed, but it won't prosper. 'Cause when the darkness falls, it won't prevail. 'Cause the God I serve knows only how to triumph. Oh, my God will never fail. We declare it today, my God. Oh, my God will never fail. So I'm gonna sing. Oh, I'm gonna see a victory. 'Cause I'm gonna see a victory. For the battle belongs to you, Lord. Oh, I'm gonna see a victory. 'Cause I'm gonna see a victory. For the battle belongs to you, Lord. There's power in the mighty name. There's power in the mighty name of Jesus. 'Cause every war he wages, he will win. 'Cause I'm not backing down from any giant. Oh, I know how this story ends. I know. For the battle belongs to you, Lord. 'Cause I'm gonna see a victory. 'Cause I'm gonna see a victory. For the battle belongs to you, Lord. This is how he overcomes. You take what the enemy meant for evil, and you turn it for good. You turn it for good. He does, he takes. 'Cause you take what the enemy meant for evil, and you turn it for good. You turn it for good. You take. 'Cause you take what the enemy meant for evil, and you turn it for good. You turn it for good.
And my hope. Your promises never fail. Your promises never fail.
Your promises.
Your promises never fail. Your promises never fail.
So Lord, we stand in this moment on the promises and the power of your word. Increase our faith, O God, as we seek you and as we trust you today. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Hot July summer welcome to all the CA family and to any guests who are joining us. We come to week number 2 in our summer series entitled To Tell the Truth. Now, last week, we talked about our unbelievable capacity to miss the truth, to miss what's obvious about any of our lives. It's a pretty frightening thing. The general level of self-awareness among any of us is not all that impressive. And we all say a strong amen to that statement because I see how true this is of you. No one who lacks self-awareness thinks that it's their problem. Now, a really next big question that we'll tackle today is, I need help with the truth. So who is it that will tell the truth to me about me? Which brings us to a great story about the truth. It's recorded in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 20, verses 17 through 28. Please join me, follow along as I read. Jesus was going up to Jerusalem. He took the 12 disciples aside privately, and he told them what was about to happen. "Listen," he said, "we're going up to Jerusalem, where the Son of Man will be betrayed to the leading priests and teachers of the religious law. They will sentence him to die. They will hand him over to the Romans to be mocked, flogged with a whip, and crucified. But on the third day, he will be raised from the dead." Then the mother of James and John, the sons of Zebedee, so this is Mrs. Zebedee, she came to Jesus with her sons. She knelt respectfully to ask a favor. "What is your request?" Jesus asked. She replied, "In your kingdom, please let my two sons sit in the places of honor next to you, one on your right and one on your left." But Jesus answered them by saying to them, "You don't know what you're asking. Are you able to drink from the bitter cup of suffering that I'm about to drink?" "Oh, yes," they replied, "we are able." Jesus told them, "You will indeed drink from my bitter cup, but I have no right to say who will sit on my right or my left. My Father has prepared those places for the ones he has chosen." Now, when the 10 other disciples heard what James and John had asked, they were indignant. But Jesus called them together and said, "You know that the rulers in this world lord it over their people, and officials flaunt their authority over those under them. But among you, it will be different. Whoever wants to be a leader among you must first be your servant, and whoever wants to be first among you must become your slave. For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve others and to give his life as a ransom for many." And this, my friend, is the word of God. So here's our setting. Jesus huddles up with his 12 disciples and he says, "Guys, the next play we're going to run, here it is. I'm going to die. On three, ready, break." Now, you can only imagine the chaos and confusion that these words stirred from Jesus, stirred in his disciples. They're talking among themselves, and they're also talking in other places, probably at home, where James and John, their mother, overheard this conversation. She makes an appointment to see Jesus and arrives with her boys in tow. And she says to Jesus, "Before all this betrayal and dying happens, I've got one thing that you deeply need to consider. My boys, they need a promotion. You know Jimmy and Johnny. They're two of your very best. Before you are humiliated and tortured for the sins of the world in the single greatest act of self-sacrificing love, my boys deserve a promotion." Because Jesus, look, here's the deal. Ever since my boys have been following you, this flying coach doesn't fit real well with them. They don't do really good in economy class. Have you noticed how big they've gotten? In fact, Jesus, Jimmy, when he'll come home, I'm not kidding you, he'll polish off a whole tray of brownies. The boys are big, and when they get in these small economy seats, their thighs rub and it gives them a rash. So Jesus, I want you to give them an upgrade because this is not appreciated. This is needed. I think I've made my case. Now, Jesus, I know you've got 10 other egos that you have to consider. So I'm going to ask you to promise me that my boys will fly row one, seats A and B. In fact, Jesus, swear to me. In fact, Jesus, why don't you even swear to God? Three times in Matthew's gospel and three times in Mark's gospel, Jesus speaks about humbling himself and suffering. He's forecasting the cross that is out in front of him. And in every one of those six occasions, the very next conversation with the disciples is who's the greatest. So here's the scene. Mom has made her appeal, her pitch to Jesus. Her boys are standing as though they're innocent in all of this. And they need not say a word because Mommy has said it all for them already. And Mom is not asking for anything. After all, this is not a selfish action. She's not asking for herself. She is only being selfless for the well-being of her sons. Now, can you imagine this? In the ancient world, now you can't imagine such a world. In the ancient world, parents would gratify their own personal ego needs through the accomplishment of their kids. Can you imagine such a world? Mrs. Zebedee is the first helicopter mom who's going to make sure that her boys outshine all the other boys. You know, it's possible for parents to think that they're breathing life into their kids when they're really sucking life out of their kids through their children's achievement, deceiving themselves as parents into thinking that I'm really doing this all just because of my love for them and my desire for them to do well. A caution, a truth moment for every parent. You can build a family setting where children live under constant pressure, but the truth is it's really all about feeding your ego. She kneels before Jesus. Boy, this looks impressive. This is a position of humility and surrender. She could not be more self-deceived. This is only the action of grandiosity and entitlement. And everyone can see the truth, both then and every reader now, except one person. Guess who? Now imagine that week, Mrs. Zebedee heads off to her life group. She arrives at the home where the others finally come. And it's time to begin. And the leader says, it's great to see everyone. We've not been together for a few weeks. There have been some email exchanges. But it'd be great for us to begin by catching up with each other. So tell us how you're doing. In fact, let's start with you. In fact, we're going to name her for fun, Zoe. Zoe Zebedee. Zoe, tell us about how the last couple of weeks have gone. And Zoe Zebedee says, I couldn't wait. I couldn't wait to share with you. I had an encounter with Jesus, and I wanted to tell you all about it. Jesus was talking dead stuff yet again. Have you noticed how negative he's been? It just seems, in fact, I want us to pray for him before we leave because I'm convinced that he needs to see somebody. I think he's deeply depressed. In fact, I think he might even need medication. But I went and told him, before you talk one more dead thing, before you say any more crazy things, you owe it to my boys, you owe it to me to put them in first-class seats. Now, how do you think the members of that life group responded? Well, I can tell you there were at least two responses for sure. The first response was some who stood to their feet and began to applaud. You are amazing, they told her. You are something. Those boys are so lucky to have you. In fact, Zoe, what did Jesus say? No, in fact, don't tell us because we know what he said. They're mothers and then there are you. The second response that they would have had was, who in the world does she think she is? Now, no one at least says out loud the truth. Life groups that fail to help each member live in the truth about themselves become not groups of life, but groups of death. We can actually enable each other in a lack of self-awareness. We can keep each other from life and freedom. See, she's kneeling, thinking that I'm worshiping, I'm surrendering. There's no I in any of this at all. Now, in our story, the three of them are looking at Jesus. And will you notice what Jesus does not say? He does not say to them, Zoe, you have made such an amazing case. I never thought of such things. So give me 24 hours to think about it and consider your request. No, the gospel writer says, he said to them immediately. Now notice plural them, not to her, but to them. He is calling them out on their collusion. Now, mom wants this to appear to be a conversation just between she and Jesus that will keep alive the idea that she's only in this for her boys. And she wants to keep alive the idea that her boys are standing by quiet, really, because they honor mom and Jesus. But Jesus responds to them immediately with truth. I'm not going to let you boys hide behind your mom, and I'm going to not let you, mom, hide behind your boys. You know what? Love is really having the courage to speak truth in love. And it's always that. We saw it last week. You can never separate grace and truth. Inextricably bound together are truth and love. Love is having the courage. It's stepping into the courage to speak truth in love in the most difficult situations. Love is having the guts to say what someone called the last 10%. Now, churches are notorious for suffering from a terminal niceness. The church of my youth, we were plagued with terminal niceness. I was taught this: hint at something long enough and people will get it. I was wrong. In fact, one of my mentors, Tom Hughes, he never hints. In fact, one of the things that I learned from Tom is that hinting never works. But see, I was raised in a church culture where truth was measured as to what you would tell somebody else. Never tell somebody the hard last 10%. So we would get indirect when what was needed most was truth. And our reasoning that we gave was that we were being most loving. The truth, the real truth, is that most of us don't want unpleasant emotions that come with this action of speaking the truth to one another. Will we just hydroplane over the tough, awkward moments of life, relational moments, or will we hang in with each other and just keep talking? Now, for all of us, there have been times, I'm embarrassed to tell you, I don't really want the truth about me, because the truth about me is I need to change in ways that I don't want to change. And the truth about me is that I will never know the truth about me until I invite a few who love me enough into my world to say the last 10%. This is what it means to be the church. Listen to these words from Ephesians 4. Instead, we will speak truth in love. growing in every way. Notice that maturity and growth is absolutely connected to love and the speaking of truth to one another, growing in every way more and more like Christ, who is the head of his body, the church. This is what it means to grow up. Last week, we talked about one of the great word pictures that the Bible uses about God's word. And it says, if you recall, God's word is a mirror. But this week, the Bible also says that one of the most important mirrors you will ever receive, be given, is the mirror of friendship, just godly friends. All the time, you and I are sending signals off of whether we're open to hear the last 10%. Am I open? Am I teachable? If you are closed to the truth, the signal will be clear, the message will be clear, and people will pull away from you, but you need to know you will stay immature. Jesus said to them, he calls out their collusion, and Jesus said, you don't know what you're talking about. Can you drink the cup? And their response was, sure, of course we can. Jesus is looking for a drop, a speck of self-awareness in James and John. You don't know about the cup. The cup in the Bible is all about the judgment of God coming upon all humanity because of sin. Can you drink that cup? And their self-unawareness said, of course we can. Easy. No problem. Then Jesus says to them, look, what you need to know, the seats that you have requested are not mine to give. And this brings to a close the scene with Mrs. Zebedee, her sons, and Jesus. But the next scene is this. The disciples find out about this request that was made by the mother of James and John. Now, we're not told how they found out, but it leaked out. And if there was one thing that James and John wanted to keep under lock and key, it was this. And anytime there's a secret, secrets always destroy community. The disciples, what is their response? They are indignant. They are angry. In fact, this is the kind of anger that will rupture community. Why were they angry, by the way? Was it because that secrets destroy community? No, they were angry because they had thought the same thought, only they didn't get there first. They're angry because seats 3 through 12, they all feel that they're better than that. All of them wanted to be number one. See, the truth about me is I will never know the truth about me unless I invite a few into my life who will be loving truth tellers. If not, you will never grow up into Christ. Nothing is more unbecoming than an adult who remains a child. Now, two final things before we close our time together. Two questions that I want to ask you and have you reflect on. The first is this. How do you personally do at telling the last 10% to others? Now, for most, this is what I find. If you wait until you do it perfect, you want to have just the exact words. You want to work it through where there's no trouble at all. If you wait until you do it perfectly, guess how long you're going to wait? Forever. So this act of love, you will always do imperfectly. Speaking the last 10% is not your permission to erupt on someone and to tell them off. You just simply say to somebody, look, There's something important that I wanted to talk with you about. I may not say this well. In fact, I probably won't. But I will say it again and again and again until it's right. Because it takes courage and love and willingness to do this imperfectly. And why do we do this? Because this is love. So how do you personally do at telling the last 10% to others? And then our final question is, how do you do at receiving the last 10% of truth from others? Two things that work, that don't work, and one thing that does. The first thing that never works is anger and defensiveness. It's why the New Testament writer says, be slow to anger, because your anger will never produce the righteousness of God. For some, it's just you've let your anger try to control everything, but it's left you alone. Oh, it's not as though there aren't people around, but people don't really love you. They fear you. So you've got some work to do. And then it's one thing to defend. It's another thing to be defensive. Anger and defensiveness never works. The second thing that never works is people crumble. They say, look, I'm such a terrible person. How could anyone ever love me? And really what it is, it's a little sneaky way to guilt others so that they never tell you the truth again. But the one thing that does work is this. Will you listen? Will you really listen? Jesus said, do you have ears to hear? And he wasn't asking, do you have the auditory capacity to hear? Jesus was saying something much deeper. Will you humble yourselves? Will you be a learner? And as Proverbs says, are you correctable? Are you teachable? Well, the question, there's not a one of us that doesn't need to make room in receiving, in telling and receiving the truth in love. Where do you get the power to do such an act of love? You'll only get it at the foot of the cross. Only Jesus can help us be deliverers of truth and receivers of truth that will grow us up into Him who is the head of the church. Lastly, before we go today, the truth is, if there's anyone joining us and you have never bent your knee before the Savior, you must be born again. And He is but a reach from you. He is extending the truth of His gospel that you are so loved that He reached to you in the person of Jesus. And through His life, death, and resurrection, you can be made new. If you'll just click the little place where it says that, we'll get back to you and we'll help you take some first steps in following Jesus. May you grow this week in the truth, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you.
May God's peace be with you. You may go.
Well, thank you again for joining us for our online services today. If you did make a decision to follow Jesus, we'd love to hear about that. Make sure you email or text us so that we can follow up with you. I want to remind you that you can connect with us through our daily touch points and our digital discipleship that's available this Wednesday night, both of which are available on all of our social media channels. You can find and follow us on our socials at Facebook, Instagram, and on YouTube. And now let me close us with this benediction. May the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. See you next week, everyone.